Well, again, it's wonderful to be together with all of you. Today is Sunday, August the 9th, 2020. And if you would, take your Bibles and go to the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning in just a couple of minutes. Last week, we were looking at some of the great value of God's Word, the Scriptures, and it is indeed of great value and profit to us to learn about God Almighty from His words. You know, much more profitable than just guessing who He is or what He will or will not do. And in reading and understanding the Scriptures that are specifically directed toward those who are born again, we discover something of great personal value, seeing who we really are. In them, we find our true identity as far as what God thinks. You know, a person can see themselves and take great pride in being an American, and that's wonderful. Or, you know, people see themselves as being successful in, you know, whatever, academics, business, sports, whatever, and that's wonderful. On the other hand, there are some people who see themselves and then identify as not successful at anything. And as a result, they have a, what we would call a low self-image. Far too many people feel that others have more opportunity, more advantage, more privilege than they do. And then for them, because they see themselves that way, they can easily identify with being a victim. And sadly, in our culture today, being a victim is heavily promoted. And that never, ever helps to lift people up, but it keeps them down. Almost every self-help book or course devotes time into how important your self-image is, what you think of yourself, the picture of yourself that you carry with, how you see yourself. And of course, the Bible's not silent about this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, and other related verses. And so the Bible reveals to those of us who are born again our true identity, who we really are in God's eyes. And this has been undervalued and unappreciated. And yet, the great value to our own personal lives, if we choose to believe who God says we are, the value to every aspect of our lives, it's just huge. And it is much more than just reading a verse, going, wow, that's neat, or memorizing some verses. It's much more than that. The great value to our personal lives comes from putting what we read into our minds, believing it, and then acting accordingly. So this morning, even if you've heard some of these things before, let's reconsider with open eyes who we really are. And we begin in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in some translations they add, and we are. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and we are. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Wow, what a great verse. We could just say amen now. Let's just dwell on that for a week. Behold, take a look. What manner of love? What kind of love is this? The Father hath bestowed upon us, you and me, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. And we are. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Beloved, now, today, at this very moment, we are children of God. And you know, when you think about that, the creator of the heavens and the earth is literally our Father. It's not just a nice phrase, you know, to make us feel good. It is reality, because it's by birth. We're born again, born from above of incorruptible seed. And this was God's idea, his plan, his desire, because of his love. What manner of love is this? And for you and me, it happened in a moment of time. It happened the moment we confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. At that moment, boom, welcome to the family. Just as literally true as when a new baby is born. For us, it's a new birth, a birth from above, like Jesus talked about to Nicodemus. Born of the Spirit, God put his Spirit in us, and that makes us his children. Take a look at Romans chapter 8. Oh my goodness, the book of Romans and this chapter 8, you can just read it over and over. It's so full of great truths regarding who we are. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 15. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. You know, we got born again, we received a spirit. So God's saying, look, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word adoption literally means to be placed as a son or placed as a child. And there's only two ways that can happen. One is by birth, and the other would be by, you know, the process of adoption. The context here indicates it's birth, placed as a child by birth. We have received the spirit of adoption, or you could even say a sonship spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. How awesome is this? God Almighty is literally our Father. We are his children. You know, then it says, well, if we're children, then we're heirs of God. Heirs of God. We're in the will. Talk about having privilege. Your Father, my Father, is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Quite a family we belong to. Now, if you remember in the Gospels, it was Jesus Christ who introduced the concept of God Almighty being our Father. And as he taught them that, that reality was to come about shortly. And in one place, in teaching them about prayer, he told them to ask, to seek, and to knock. In Matthew 7, after he said that, he said to them, if you then being evil, meaning you're not perfect, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Wow. Isn't that something? The creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father. So, are we privileged or what? Do we have connections? You know, sometimes people talk about that. Yeah, I got connections. Do we have connections? The question is, do we really believe this? Do we ask? Do we seek? Do we knock with great confidence, knowing and believing, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Verse 17 again. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus did all the work, didn't he? Yeah. And we still get to be joint heirs with him? Wow. That's kind of privilege, isn't it? Now, what we're looking at here this morning, this is not available for the general public. Because we're looking at who those who are born again really are. For those who are not born again, sorry, you don't have this. But you can get it. God made it so easy, and he said in his word that he would have all people to get saved. So the door is wide open to gain this great privilege from God. If you back up just a little bit to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." The word justified, justification, righteous, righteousness, they all come from the same root word that basically means to be right according to a legal standard. And in this case, God's supreme legal standard. There are no works that you can do to make yourself righteous or justified, legally right in the sight of God. Nothing you can do. And as we read in Romans, if you are familiar with chapter 5, it was Adam's sin that was passed on to all people. And the result was the verdict for all people guilty before God. So verse 20 again, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified, made right in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of God. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." At the moment of the new birth, you and I received the righteousness of God. We are righteous in his presence. Those who are not born again are not righteous in his presence. No matter how many good deeds they do, they do good deeds their entire life. It's not by the good deeds. We'll keep reading. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." This righteousness being right in the sight of God, it's wide open to anyone who believes. Who believes. And of course we know it's believing in Jesus Christ. To confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, made right in the sight of God freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Boy, that verse just sums it all up, doesn't it? We're justified freely. God just gave it to us. By his grace. It's by grace. Accomplished through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ accomplished our redemption and salvation. It's by God's grace that we're justified, made righteous. By his grace. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And that's why Romans 8:1, you can flip to that if you like, it's just right around the corner. Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Condemnation literally means guilty verdict. There is therefore now no guilty verdict to them which are in Christ Jesus, for the born again ones. So according to his own words, how does God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, your Father, how does he see you? Not guilty and righteous before him. That's how God sees us. So the question is, how do you see you? Take a look at 1 Thessalonians 1. There's so much in the church epistles about our identity, our true identity. We could spend hours doing this. Then you'd miss lunch. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Look at this. "And to wait for his son from heaven," he is coming back, "whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." Wrath means judgment. There is a day of judgment coming. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. People will be judged by their works, by their deeds. However, for you and for me, we are exempt. We have been delivered from the wrath to come. Why? Because we're so good? No. The reason we're delivered from this judgment that is to come is that there is therefore now no more guilty verdict for you or me. In God's eyes, we are righteous now. We read that in Romans. But now, the righteousness of God. In fact, in Romans 5, it says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And if you'd like to see another one, look at chapter 5 here in 1 Thessalonians. And in verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath. Hello. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to talk about privilege? Oh my goodness. We will not be judged during that great day of wrath. Because we're so good? No, no. We already read, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But for those who believe in Jesus, those who get born again, God forgives all sins to the point of there is therefore now no more guilty verdict. And God did that because Jesus Christ paid the full price, the penalty for all our sins. You have been forgiven. And far too many Christians live their lives with guilt over past sins. They carry sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness. And that's how they see themselves. And yet God has forgiven you for all of it. It says that in Colossians. Back up just a bit to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins. When you read that, dead in your sins, you know, there's other places it says, well, when we were dead. It's referring to having no spirit life. Okay. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive? Together with him, when we received spirit, we became alive. We got spirit life. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, look at this, having forgiven you all trespasses. All of them. Including the ones that still gnaw at you. And bring up unworthiness, guilt, shame, wish I wouldn't have. All of them forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All of them. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How in the world can we have the confidence to go to God, our Father, and ask, seek, and knock if we feel unworthy, guilty, carrying sin consciousness in our hearts? We won't. It says in 1 John, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And when we do fall short, and everybody does, because Jesus Christ paid the price for all sins, we can receive forgiveness. But we need to accept his forgiveness, or it'll be almost impossible to really believe that we are righteous before him, that we can come and ask and seek and knock, and that he will bless us. Boy, you talk about being privileged people. Oh my goodness, God Almighty is our Father, literally by birth. We are his children. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. For us, there's no more guilty verdict. In the eyes of God Almighty, we are right. We are righteous. He's forgiven us all our sins, and we're exempt from the wrath to come. Oh, Lordy, what did we do to get all of that? Nothing. We simply accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and believed that God raised him from the dead. And at that moment, God put his spirit in us and said, welcome to the family. Take a look at Ephesians. Back up just a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2. This is exciting stuff. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Better than watching the news. Ephesians chapter 2. Familiar verses, I know, but just let's reconsider these in light of who am I really? Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were, see it, dead in sins, had no spirit, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. By his grace, by his great love. When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, the Bible says that he is now seated at the right hand of God. And now, from God's point of view, spiritually speaking, you and I are where? Seated in the heavenlies. Look at verse 6 again. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the position your Father placed you in. Could you or I have ever dreamed of earning that position? God, I've been so good, I think that I should be seated up there in the heavenlies. Well, of course not. But that's where he put us. He made us sit there. You talk about privilege? The Bible says we're holy and without blame before him. We're accepted by God. Romans says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you think God loves his kids? Of course he does. No wonder Jesus said, "How much more shall your Father who's in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" We are his children. Verse 18 of this chapter. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We have access to the Father by way of the Spirit in us. Take a look at chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You want to talk about privilege? There's some privilege. God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And that's how he sees us. Verse 5 actually starts with in love. In love, having predestinated us, that predestinate means determined beforehand for us. Having predestinated, determined beforehand for us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he's made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in his sight. You know, sometimes different things in life, you need to be accepted, like to go to a college, other things. As far as God's concerned, we've been accepted. How's that for being privileged? And verse 7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And blood simply means Jesus gave his life because of his death. He redeemed us, paid the price, the penalty for all sins, redeemed us, bought us back. Price has been paid. We've been redeemed. So we not only have redemption, but we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is all God's plans, all his ideas, that in the dispensation or administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Aha! Just like we read in Romans, right? Heirs of God, being predestinated or determined beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we, you and me, should be to the praise of his glory. Oh, goodness, talk about privilege. Who first trusted in Christ. It says, in whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth. First, you got to hear about Jesus Christ. If you're going to get born again, somebody's got to share with you about Jesus Christ, that he's Lord and that God raised him from the dead. But that's not enough just to hear it. After that you heard the truth, the gospel or good news of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And if God sealed it, it is sealed. And you know what that Holy Spirit of promise is? That spirit that God put in us, it says it's the earnest. And that word earnest means the token. It's a down payment. You know, like if you buy a house, you have to put earnest money down. You don't put the whole ball of wax down. You know, you put the earnest. That spirit that we have is the earnest of our inheritance until that full redemption takes place of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's God's prayer for us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the, look at this verse, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Wow, are we privileged? Which he wrought in Christ. How big is this power? Well, it's the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then God did this. God put all things under Jesus Christ's feet and gave him, Jesus Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And the church is his body. It's the fullness of him that fills all in all. Not some in all, not all in some, but all in all. How privileged we are. How loved by the creator of the heavens and the earth we are. No wonder there are verses like, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, why not? He's our Father. Do we have the confidence to go to our Father and ask and seek and knock? God's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, why not? He is our Father. Do we have the confidence to go to our Father, to ask, to seek, to knock? And God has graciously given every one of his children, all in all, his Spirit. You know, we read that in verse 13, right? In whom, after you trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? Corinthians 12 tells us there are 9 manifestations of that Spirit, 9 ways to operate it. Does having that Spirit give us any advantage in the life we are living now? Only if we make the time to understand what the Scriptures tell about having the Spirit in us, and then believe it, and then operate it. Boy, how privileged we are as born-again ones. What great advantages God has lovingly bestowed on his children. And I would like to close in Romans 8. And as I said, we could just go on for hours in the church epistles. No wonder it's so beneficial to read God's word and especially the church epistles, right? How beneficial is it? We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. And let's go down to, well, we could look at verse 30 to start. Moreover, those were in Romans 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He made us right. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, what should we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How's that for an advantage in life? How's that for having some privilege? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is addressed to the born again ones, right? We just read a couple of verses. He justified us, right? He's already given us eternal life. He's already given us his gift of Holy Spirit. He's already made us sit in the heavenlies. All of those things that we've looked at and a whole lot more. Now it's talking about freely give us all things. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give to them that ask, seek, and knock? God is a God that gives, and he's our Father. How much more shall he give? Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We ask, we seek, we knock. And as Jesus taught us, men ought to always pray and not faint. We keep at it. Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yeah. Who's going to bring legal charges against God's elect? God that justified? God's the one that justified, said we're right in his sight. God's the one that said, the verdict is not guilty. Yes, but I have some not guilty. Move on, mister. Who's he that condemns? Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Is Christ going to condemn us and make intercession at the same time? I don't think so. Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter? No, sir. Nay, in all these things, we, you and I, the family of God, God's children, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So when we need, we ask, we seek, we knock. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you feel privileged reading that? Oh, wonderful. And so, as we wait for that great day when Christ returns, as we live our lives, how do we see ourselves? What picture of you do you carry in your mind? Do we access the privilege and advantages we've been given? You know, the Bible says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And prosper means more than just money. It means that you are successful. It means that you things go well with you. God, our Father, says, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Healing from God is available. Prosperity from our Father is available. Our Father wants his children to prosper and be in health. All this and so much more. The Bible reveals to us who we really are, and what God gave us, and what we can do as children of God Almighty. So the question is, do we see ourselves as one who has been given access to God Almighty as his dear child? Do we see ourselves as one who has been given such great advantages with so many rights, privileges, and abilities? Who do you see when you look in the mirror? When you read with understanding the Word of God directed to those who are born again, it reveals our true identity, who we really are, who that really is who's staring back at you in the mirror. In God's Word, we see just how privileged we are. And this has been so undervalued and unappreciated. But if we choose to believe who our Father says we are, if we choose to believe that we really have what our Father says we have, if we choose to believe that we can do what our Father says we can do, there is tremendous benefit then to every aspect of our personal lives. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, it is sometimes stunning to read your words that talk about us. Father, we read your words and see how magnificent you are, how great you are, how powerful, how loving you are. And to read words about what you've done for us, because we know we could never earn them and we know we certainly don't deserve them, it's just stunning. But Father, we thank you for all that Jesus Christ made available so that you could make us righteous in your sight, that you could give us eternal life and your Spirit and all the rights, privileges, and abilities that we have as your children. And Father, may we continue to grow in accepting them as true and walking out on them. And Father, may we have great confidence to go to you, our Father, to ask, to seek, and to knock, with confidence knowing that you not only hear us, but you are delighted to bless us and to help us and to provide what we need. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. And I thank you, Father, for, again, all that Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here today. It's a great privilege to share God's word with you. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog, and we'll be back here again next Sunday, unless the Lord returns. What a day that's going to be. In the meantime, next time you look in the mirror, take a good look and remember who you really are. Have a blessed week. I love you. God bless you.